Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively, FedEx.
Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, Eddie's, if you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. Welcome back. It is Monday, February 1st.
February, or as they call it in Vermont, the start of frostbite season.
Classic February. Jack, is this our best one yet, by the way? TBOY.
Let's get right to it. This is a classic T-Boy.
First story, what do we got, Jack?
We are jumping into the money pipes that move stocks from the market to your account.
We're looking at the plumbing that got clogged with GameStop stock repop last week.
For our second story, Levi's is killing Slim Fit, slipping into the comfort of economy baggy jeans instead.
Jack, their other latest idea makes so little sense, it makes too much sense.
For our third and final story, WeWork is pulling a rework.
Yeah.
They may finally go public, finally, by SPACing themselves.
The future of work from home, it's really work from anywhere.
But Snackers, before we hit those three stories, last week was wild for stock markets. Things ended down 4% overall, Nick, which was the worst week since October.
Plus, we got the, Jack, we got the old GameStop stock repop.
Yes, this tongue twister will never go away. GameStop stock jumped 221% Wednesday.
Gotcha.
Fell 44% Thursday.
Following you.
And jumped 67% Friday.
So Snackers, a whole lot went on. Jack and I spoke to each other over the weekend. I would say we spoke to each other a lot, Jack.
Verizon must think we got married because Saturday and Sunday was a full-time FaceTime phone call between Nick and me.
Basically, Jack and I were like, how specifically can we be the most helpful to Snackers this week by making sense of all the latest market madness that's been happening over the whole last week?
And it got us thinking, we've been talking about finance news like we did this weekend.
To each other.
Every weekend for the past like 15 years.
Yeah, this is pre-iPhone. We're talking Motorola Razr era.
It started when Nick and I showed up as freshman year roommates sharing Seinfeld DVDs. I had season 3, he had season 4.
I feel like we're dating ourselves now. Since then, we've worked on Wall Street, been covering finance news for 10 years. Jack, we could kind of say we're PFWTMs. Not in much, but kind of in the financial industry.
We are people familiar with the matter of how stock markets work.
And Jack, what would you say based on all this? What would be our takeaway on the financial industry?
Nobody completely gets how finance work, Nick.
No, they don't. And that's basically why Jack and I decided to make making financial news digestible our like entire life takeaway.
Chicago does logistics, Darlene does two pumps, and we make financial news digestible.
And the news right now, mainstreamification of investing like we have never seen before.
It is a meme vesting moment. Nick, GameStop was like the only subject of Saturday Night Live.
They basically co-hosted a whole SNL skit. So this week, Jack and I had an idea. Here's what we're thinking. We want to make the financial system more digestible too.
Our goal, one news story per day that highlights a different side of the financial system.
Now, Snackers, that system is complicated. And by the way, not everyone plays by the same rules in that system.
That's why we're jumping in snack style.
Jack, let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible, business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, /SIPC.
For our first story, we are going inside the money pipes.
We are looking at why brokerages stopped stock trading last week.
You might think buying or selling a stock happens like, boom, as quickly as a text message.
False.
No.
It is slower.
A lot slower.
It's a lot slower, more like the plumbing system in an East Village, New York, pre-war four-floor walk-up.
Jack, I'm picturing 231 East 14th Street. Now, here is the complicated pipes that take a stock from like, somewhere else to your account.
We're looking at those complicated pipes because they broke the system last week.
Yes, they did.
For the whole world to see.
And that's why Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, Interactive Brokers, E-Trade, and others restricted trading of GameStop, AMC, and a whole bunch of other meme stocks last week.
Snackers, maybe you've bought a stock before. It turns out every time you buy a stock, you're actually borrowing that stock for a full 2 days.
That's because it takes two full days for the seller to digitally deliver that stock to the buyer.
That's right. There is one surprisingly long virtual pipe.
Yeah, it is.
Through which your stock actually flows.
And like in between, like in the middle of that pipe, the brokerage, it's spotting you. It's like got you. It's a 2 day loan it's giving you between you buying the stock and it arriving in your account.
And let's say those stocks are the ones getting mentioned and hyped up on Wall Street Bets.
Jack, can kind of create a major stress on the whole plumbing system we got here.
For example, imagine you place an order to buy 100 shares of GameStop on Wednesday last week.
Now, at that point, since GameStop stock is $400, the brokerage is essentially lending you like $40,000 worth of stock, 100 times 400.
And that loan from the brokerage to you just sits there for 2 days until Friday when the stock finally arrives from whoever sold it.
But then, Jack, let's say over this 2 day period, what if the stock drops for GameStop from like $400 to maybe $0 before Friday?
Then the brokerage lent you $40,000 and finally gets stock that's worth $0 to replace it.
So the brokerage would lose $40,000 because within those 2 days, the stock plummeted.
Now, normally for a brokerage, these things balance out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gain money with the stocks in those 2 days.
Hakuna Matata.
Sometimes you lose money on those stock loans in the 2 days.
But for some brokerages last week, it was only GameStop stock. It was only buy orders for that stock, and it was happening all day long.
And that built up a huge potential risk for the brokerages last week.
So if you look at this analogy then and see what happened on Thursday, a bunch of brokerages held huge risk on those two-day loans, specifically for meme stops like GameStop.
Now, multiply our one example by a million brand new retail investors all focused on these Wall Street Bet stocks.
Which leads to our takeaway. Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the money pipes?
If stock trading is plumbing, then brokerages need cash to keep the trades flowing through the pipes.
Snackers, there is a master of the pipes who says how much collateral cash these brokerages need. And that master of the pipes is the DTCC.
Yeah, the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation. We think they should go with Master of the Pipes.
But until they rebrand, on Thursday morning, the DTCC ordered the brokerages to collectively put up $8.5 billion in cash as collateral to ensure stocks could keep flowing through the pipes.
That is because brokerages had so many GameStop buy orders. And if the stock of GameStop dropped massively,
something, Jack, that was like totally possible with GameStop, although it hasn't happened,
then the brokerages would be sitting on huge losses and would need to find cash really fast.
And that situation, that helps explain what happened on Thursday, Thursday's news.
Brokerages did various things last week to meet the sudden and huge collateral requirements from the DTCC.
Some of them, not all of them, but some of them prevented viral stock buying because that would have required even more cash collateral.
Social media fueled meme vesting required cash to get through the pipes.
A whole lot of cash. For our second story, Levi's stock is exactly where it was a year ago, Jack.
And at the same time, Levi's is the most active company in fashion right now.
All right, Snackers. Investors have stashed Levi's stock in like that one lower left closet drawer, you know, like the one you're not really ever opening.
For me, it's a wicker basket.
Yeah, Jack just fully exposed that he's recording from Vermont right now.
Yes.
Levi's, though, its summer sales, like last time we covered it, Jack, plummeted 60%. It lost $127 million in 2020. Million.
Unsurprisingly, the stock underperformed last year. It didn't move.
Yeah.
It's the same place today as it was a year ago, while the rest of the stock market is 13% higher.
So then Jack and I are preparing for today's pod, and we noticed this shocking news. Levi's added 21 stores in the last 3 months, and sales only dipped 12% last quarter.
Levi's seems shockingly confident right now.
Yes, they do.
Because they're also killing off their slim fit jeans.
Yeah.
They just launched their own loose fit for both men and women.
Yeah, perfect for like the Spirit Airways situation, Jack, when you only can do certain carry-on luggage.
You can stuff like a full suitcase worth of stuff in these baggy jeans.
Technically, I'm only carrying one bag today.
The CEO made this statement regarding the company's skinny to loose fit switcheroo.
Get this. I think we're kind of leading this trend to some extent.
The most non-definitive statement from a CEO we've ever heard.
Most hedge-thinged ever. And guess what, Snackers? It's all part of the comfort economy that the pandemic completely ushered in.
You want drawstrings, not zippers.
But here's what's fascinated Jack and me about Levi's. This company, we noticed, has been absurdly active in the last few months.
Loose fit was just the start. They also inked a deal with Uber to deliver you jeans same day if you order them online.
Yeah, but like that unexpected last minute full body Zoom meeting that seems to come up on Tuesdays.
And they also launched their own re-commerce website to be the place to resell your college pair of Levi's.
Yeah, it's Levi's secondhand. Oh, and then they launched their first sweatpants and underwear line called Red Tab,
which thankfully is not made of the stiff denim they're known for.
No, Jack, I hate denim. Jack, actually, the whole strategy team at Levi's basically has like a whiteboard, a dart, and a few Real Housewives of Key West martinis.
Levi's, where no idea is a bad idea.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Levi's?
Meet the customer where they are.
Okay, so this very latest Levi's partnership we just noticed, it makes absolutely no sense at first. Target Furniture.
A jeans company just launched a line of pillows, tableware, and rugs sold exclusively at Target.
A place like the denim decanter right next to the chambray lamp.
By the way, chambray is just the New York word for denim. It's soft.
Jack, I will never wear denim. Chambray, I'm okay with.
But we think Levi's has noticed two things in this year of all their random product launch experiments.
First, they noticed that Target has the secret sauce of attracting retail shoppers during the pandemic. And that is groceries. They get shoppers in.
Second, they realize customers aren't buying clothing specifically for events they used to go to. No more bell-bottom pants just for that music fest.
So Levi's has recognized they need to meet the customers at the stores like Target where they're spending time.
Not Levi's.
And they've noticed they need to sell them products for the places you're actually spending time.
Not out.
Like furniture. For our third and final story, WeWork got crushed by themselves in 2019.
Then they got further crushed by the pandemic in 2020.
But here's the wild thing. WeWork may be saved by the pandemic in 2021.
It's a crazy story.
It is.
Now, Snackers, 15 months ago, Nick and I were getting ready to cover the WeWork IPO.
It was great.
At a ridiculous valuation of $47 billion.
And then 12 months ago, that valuation changed and WeWork became worth $3 billion.
WeWork was four lifts. Then they were a third of a lift.
Yeah, they canceled their IPO after society basically realized, you know what? This isn't a tech company. This is just a real estate company.
And you know what? The CEO is more talk than term sheet.
Yeah, basically, they were losing as much money as a tech company, but without like the whole scale thing.
That's when WeWork picked itself up like Batman at the advice of Alfred and we-did itself.
Yeah, it did. It sold off its WeSchools. It sold off its WeDorms. It sold off that like wave pool startup it bought from the surfer guy. Remember that, Jack?
I can't believe they had a wave pool startup. They also crucially ditched Adam Neumann.
Okay, so Jack and I went all the way back and reopened WeWork's IPO paperwork from 2019. Jack, what do we notice when we come in to F this thing?
Adam Neumann, the founder of WeWork and former CEO, was mentioned 169 times in the S-1.
Get this, Snackers. Co-working was only mentioned six times. Which led to a shocking story Jack and I noticed this past weekend. According to PFWTM, WeWork may now go public via SPAC at a $10 billion valuation.
If a SPAC acquires WeWork to take it public, that would triple its valuation in just the past year.
Now, a year ago, remember, WeWork didn't just cancel its IPO in 2019. The pandemic like broke WeWork pretty hard.
Yeah, the cashew butter available in every WeWork fridge, it was a super spreader event.
Yeah, it was. And yet, since then, revenue for WeWork has stopped plummeting last quarter.
And the company publicly announced they expect profitability at the end of 2021.
Could be adjusted, but still could be profitability.
Self-proclaimed path to profitability from WeWork.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at WeWork?
2020 was work from home. 2021 could be work from anywhere.
Okay, so here's how we're seeing this. Co-working is like the obvious pandemic victim, but it could become the surprise post-pandemic winner.
Here's the change we're expecting. There will be less working in office,
right?
But people won't be working entirely at home either.
Right. And many companies are going to like end up in the middle of this whole spectrum with the post-COVID work plans, right, Jack? Like right in the meaty part of the curve.
Some will be fully remote. Others will be fully in office, but many will be flex workers.
Yeah, come in a few days a week, work from home the rest. Don't worry about it. That's how you'll do this.
And here's the key. We think companies will be able to recruit better talent if they have the promise to access local WeWorks.
Yeah, so we think WeWork could get a big boost of corporate clients thanks to distributed workforces and the whole new flex working policies, we'll see.
Mark Zuckerberg announced a few months ago that Facebook will become a 50% remote company soon.
Jack, why doesn't Facebook get a couple dedicated spaces for remote workers at a WeWork in every single city?
WeWork reworked itself to survive last year.
The pandemic, though, just set up WeWork to thrive this year. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Wild volatility and meme vesting broke the stock market last week.
Yeah, brokerages, they also need cash to power stock through some shockingly slow plumbing.
For our second story, Levi's is meeting customers where they are, at home.
Yeah, in the comfort economy, you don't dress to impress, you Levi's loose fit.
For our third and final story, WeWork could become the remote-friendly satellite office for big corporations post-pandemic.
Yeah, WeWork reworked itself into a public company shape again. Now, time for a snack fact. This one is from Jack in Vermont and me in New York City originally.
To kick off Black History Month, we are offering up the first snack fact of the month.
Yeah. You may have heard that Black people on average earn less than white people. We've heard that before.
According to the census, Black people make just 58% income what white people make on average in the US.
But the wealth gap dwarfs the income gap.
Yeah. Basically, how much money you make versus how much money you have is actually very different.
And according to Brookings, the net worth of a typical white family in America is nearly 10 times the typical net worth of a Black family.
58% to 1 for income, 1 to 10 for net worth.
Snackers, that's our snack fact to kick off Black History Month. And we want yours. We want a whole bunch of them.
We're not just looking for snack facts that are numbers. Those are good, but we'll take snack facts about people, about companies, about structures and institutions that enlighten us about race in America.
We want ones of significance, impact, the stuff that's going to make you think differently.
We're going to feature something Black History Month every day for the whole month.
Tweet us at Robinhood Snacks.
Snackers, it's been great talking to somebody that's not just Nick like I have been all the time.
We've been waiting to get back on this pod for Monday. We're so happy to be here with you.
Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
And before we go, congrats to Xing Xu, new job over at Apple in Beijing.
Happy birthday to Ilham Putra in Padang, Indonesia.
And Alina Melita in Zurich, Switzerland.
And Pedram Mashah, who just launched a podcast in San Francisco.
And Jake Mack, who just got promoted at Carvana.
Happy anniversary to Ivan Chung and Jamie Lung in the Bay Area, California.
And Anika and Evan Galani just had their one-year snackiversary down in New Jersey.
Congratulations to Keldon Boswell and Riley Warren, who are both graduating.
And happy birthday to Ryan Wood in Dayton, Ohio.
And happy birthday to Lucy G and Lily Shu, both from Vancouver, both having birthdays.
And Meenakshi Nag in San Francisco.
Happy birthday to Aiden in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who just turned 11.
And Corey Ledesma in Jackson Heights.
And Andrew Pham in Irvine, California.
And congrats, Marissa Hunter, just got promoted in Des Moines, Iowa.
Happy anniversary to Chris and Amanda in Atlanta, Georgia.
And JD just made his first investment in CIL City, New Jersey.
This is Jack. I own stock of Levi's.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.